Well, yesterday was June 22nd, which was the feast day of Saints Thomas More and Saint John Fisher. And since Saint Thomas More is a patron saint of the Diocese of Arlington, the bishop sent an email encouraging us to celebrate the feast day today of Saint Thomas More and to have the memorial mass in his honor today. Because yesterday, of course, was the feast day of Corpus Christi, and that trumps the feast day of yesterday of St. Thomas More. So we don't want to let a year pass without thinking about our great saint of our diocese. And many of you, I'm sure, have read the book, A Man for All Seasons, perhaps seen that incredible movie, which won Academy Awards, called A Man for All Seasons, which was the life of St. Thomas More. His was a life of love and joy with his family, his great gifts of personality, his great moral character and unshakable conscience. And he was such an amazing, beloved father, writer, a jurist, and the Lord Chancellor of England. And he was good friends with Erasmus, the best known humanist of the day. Let's take a look for a moment at the life of St. Thomas More. He was born in near London in the year 1477. And as a young boy, he became the page of the archbishop. And the archbishop was so impressed with young Thomas's affability, his good manners, his keen intellect, that this future cardinal was so impressed with him. And so he was able to arrange young Thomas to go off to Canterbury College at Oxford at the young age of 14, and he spent a few years there getting an excellent education. Thomas at that time had thought about becoming a priest, even a Carthusian, contemplative monk, but then realized that God was calling him to become a lawyer and to study law. So after law school, he studied and passed the bar in the year 1501. But he continued to study other subjects as well. He was fluent in many languages, especially Greek. He studied the patristics, the philosophy, and theology. In the year 1504, he married his first wife, Jane Culp, and they were married for a number of years, had four children. But then his wife died, and he married again a widow, Alice Middleton, and again a very loving marriage. And then his ability as an outstanding lawyer brought him to the attention of Henry VIII, who sent him as an ambassador to Flanders in 1517. And then he became a member of Henry VIII's council in 1518. And then he was knighted in the year 1521. So he became Sir Thomas More. Well, then in the 1520s, Henry VIII began to run into problems. He was married to Catherine of Aragon. She was unable to give him a male heir to the throne. And Henry VIII wanted to get rid of her and marry a younger woman, Anne Boleyn. And so he appealed to Rome, to the Pope, and said, since Catherine had been his brother's wife and, you know, he had married her, of course, in the church, he wanted a divorce and an annulment. The Pope and the theologians carefully looked into the matter and said, no, it was a valid marriage between you and Catherine of Aragon, and we cannot approve of your putting her aside and living in sin with Anne Boleyn. And so, of course, the church would not allow this. And so St. Thomas More would, of course, follow the church and knew in his conscience that he could not support support Henry VIII. By this time, Thomas More was the Lord Chancellor of England, which was really the number two position of authority within the country. And so Henry VIII decided to break off from the Catholic Church and declared himself the head of the Church of England. And again, putting St. Thomas More in a very difficult situation. So he resigned as the Lord Chancellor of England, but he refused to take the oath, which was the act of supremacy, declaring Henry VIII as the head of the Church of England. And because of that, he was imprisoned in the Tower of London in the year 1535. After about a year or so, year and a half in prison, Henry VIII had him beheaded on July 6th. And, you know, when you read the accounts or read the book or watch the movie The Life of St. Thomas More, you know his famous expression, "I die the king's good servant, but God's first." And throughout his time in prison, he continued to write to his wife and to his daughter Meg, and to let them know that he, you know, could not violate his conscience and that he had to remain true to God and to the teachings of the church. And he kept his great sense of humor even to the end. As he was going up the scaffolding to be beheaded, he tripped, and the fellow who was going to behead him helped caught him. And Thomas More said, "No, I can manage the steps on the way up, but you'll have to help me on the way down." So he kept his good sense of humor even to the end. He was canonized 400 years after his death in the year 1935 by Pope Pius XI. So he's a patron saint of lawyers and, of course, great philosophers and thinkers. And a patron saint, of course, husbands and fathers as well. And even though his daughter Meg would try to tell him, just go ahead and violate your conscience and just, you know, say that it's okay for Henry VIII to be the head of the church, Thomas More said no. Because after, you know, even though I might say this, it would be a violation of my conscience, it would be a mortal sin, and then I have to answer to God and face God. So he went to his death following God's truth about the sanctity of marriage and defending the teachings of the church. So we celebrate this today, especially in our Diocese of Arlington, because our cathedral is named after St. Thomas More. So today, pray for all of us priests in our diocese, and to pray for continued vocations to the priesthood and religious life, and also, of course, pray for continuing of good Catholic lawyers as well to follow the example of St. Thomas More.